What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet.
The NCAA tournament is one of my favorite parts of the sports calendar, so I cannot wait to spend four straight days watching college basketball. UConn is one of the favorites right now on DraftKings, and I'm really interested to see if they can repeat as champion.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, March 14th, and we've got a bunch of nonsense to talk to you about. We're going to figure it out as we go. It's no prep Thursday right now. You know what I mean? So
we're just winging this motherfucker.
We're all going to hold hands and dive off the cliff together. For those of you looking for the Love is Blind reunion recap, we are recording that Thursday morning. It will be up later today if you're listening to this on Thursday. So look out for that. We're very excited for the reunion show that we'll be watching later this evening. We're recording on Wednesday. So let's go. Love is Blind. Fired up. All right. As always, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a gun.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
And we're produced by... He's back. He's got a tan from Hawaii. He spent time with his family. He Good didn't propose to his girlfriend or did? Didn't?
Crazy. Crazy no. If he didn't. Crazy if he didn't.
The love of crazy if he didn't. Crazy lovely sound if Jackson Saffron.
What's up?
What's up?
I saw he wasn't wearing headphones, and I thought maybe she was around. That's why I threw that one up.
She has a real job. She's a dentist, so she has to be in the office.
And what, you okay. Still did it?
I'll call up. Yeah,
to a dentist? You just... Not the best look. crazy.
All right. Well, first of all, we do have some breaking news, which is that our very own Tyler has ended one of the longest and most fun employment tenures of any of my friends have ever had. I was just thinking how funny it is because do you remember when we were in our early 20s? If your friend got like a good job in those first couple years out of college, we used to go celebrate that. We were so happy for them. And now we literally, the whole group chat was just like, ah, congrats, but sorry to hear that, my boy. Like,
congrats and condolences, man.
It's fucking funny how life changes, bro. It's just now we're like, ah, I guess you gotta, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the fun had to stop sooner or later, right? Like I've been fun employed since shit, November 2022. Like that was, you know, I was affected by a mass layoff. So got a nice little severance package, you know, getting this good old podcast money too on top of that. So, you know, I was never like stressed out or scrambling. Like I need a job. I was good. I was straight. Like I've told y'all, you know, in private conversations, like I'm totally good until the right opportunity comes along. Right. And it was just like, you know, it was just these boxes that had to be checked. Right. Like I said, it had to be a service that, you know, contributed in a positive way to society some way, somehow, because I told you I had like motherfuckers like Lockheed Martin and Raytheon hit me up and hell the fuck no.
Ain't no fucking way.
Ain't no motherfucking way.
Not Mr. Perrier.
Hell no, not Mr. Perrier. A man of virtue.
You hear me?
Yeah. And I was basically like, you know, I got to work for something that's kind of fulfilling and does a positive service to society, which is, you know, it checked this new job, checks that box. Also, I was like, you know, it's got to be diverse. I do not want to work with just, I refuse to be the only black guy in the office ever again, even though, you know, of course I'm working remotely, which is another box that I had to check. But, you know, because there's been plenty of times where, you know, I've just, you know, applied blindly to a position and they've gotten back to me and I've gone to their LinkedIn company profile and checked the employees. And it's nothing but white people. I'm like,
it looked like the Ringer.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, sir. The Ringer means. Good on this. Yeah. And I just hit the back like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to decline. Something else came along. But so basically, right, like had to provide a good service. Has to be remote. Has to be a diverse workforce that I'm going to be working with. This box checks all that. And the last and most importantly, hey, got to have them racks. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have that money. You know what I'm saying? We ain't gonna downplay that. Like I want to contribute positively to society and all that, but I need that motherfucking bread too. You feel me?
Yo, so, a hefty bag.
Yeah. So, you know, I finally got a gig that checked all those, you know, very fucking reasonable boxes that I had. And like I said, it only took me about, what, 15, 16 months?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about Isaiah Thomas going on Draymond Green's podcast. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas has got a really good brand as a dude who is not full of shit. You know what I mean? In any circumstance, with any person on the other side of the table, he's going to tell the truth as he sees it, for better or worse. There's not a lot of people like that in the world. And especially successful people, usually that personality is not always compatible with being successful in the entertainment or sports world. So, what did y'all think of his comments to Draymond and Draymond's response?
I feel like Draymond has said this before, right? Like I think he said it with JJ Redick. I remember he said it at like a live taping of a podcast where he was like, you know, after the 2016 finals, you know, we knew that LeBron was coming, that the Cavs, you know, had us figured out in a way that it was not going to be a cakewalk with these dudes, you know, anymore. And Draymond has said that himself, and you know, Isaiah said the same thing, basically just kind of reiterated that point. But, you know, I think it speaks to a bigger point. And I don't know if the whole, you know, we're done with the 90s shit that these Gen Zers are on, if that's going to be on the rundown for today. But I feel like it ties into that. Yeah, I feel like it ties into that because Isaiah, it feels like he's picked up the mantle as a truth teller of sorts, as someone who is not going to let mythology erase people. Right. Like, you know, he's been, you know, out there on the front lines, like, hey, come on now. Let's not forget. You know, motherfucking MJ is 1-3 versus me in the playoffs. Let's always remember that. And good for Isaiah, bro. You are a dude who fucking put MJ and Bird and Magic to sleep for your rings. We should not be, you know, sweeping guys like him to the side because, you know, he had MJ's number two and we can't talk about that. Right. Like that's the dirty secret here. So, yeah, like I said, I really enjoy how Isaiah's kind of just picked up that mantle to be like this truth teller of sorts as of late.
I think he was kind of forced into that. You know what I mean? Because he had the beef with MJ and he was like, yo, I deserve this. You know what I mean? So, and it's been a good look for him. It's been a good look for him. And also, like, you know, shouts to Draymond, the way he handled it. You know, it could have easily been like, I mean, he basically said, like, in so many words, Kevin Durant, you know, is saved the legacy of the Warriors. That's what it kind of came across as.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I agree with that completely. You know what I'm saying? But it the way he said it, it sounded like facts. You know what I mean? And for Draymond, you know, knowing their relationship in particular moments, to stand across from, sit across from that and to respond in the way he did. Kudos to him too, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, you know, Draymond's been really honest about the situation as well, when it would have been easily not to, you know what I'm saying? Especially with their, you know, their interactions at particular moments, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but I mean, Isaiah's always been honest, and it's difficult to be honest in the way he has, but I kind of think he was forced into that, and he's leaned all the way in.
Yeah. Jackson, any other insider perspective? That must have been a fun one to produce. I mean, it was
fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. Isaiah, he was great. He was very, very honest. He also was very much a man in his 60s. He did not want to troubleshoot his Wi-Fi, which is fine. it ended up
was it tenable though? Was it tenable? Was
hey,
it
we made it seemed tenable. We made it work. Tenable. We made it work. Yeah. But he was really cool. And he like logged on early. Dre was a little bit late, and he was down to just like hang out, and he was cracking jokes. He's a really cool guy, and he was definitely not afraid to talk about anything. I was kind of shocked at a lot of, and Dre after the pod was like, even outside of like some of the stuff, the clickier stuff that made the news, Dre was like, he was dropping some bombs that I knew nothing about. Like a lot of times I think when people like try to like old heads try to be like, here's a lesson for you, young fella. Draymond's like, bro, I'm smart. I'm like one of the smartest players in the NBA. Like I know what you're talking about. But he afterwards he was like, I didn't know half the shit he was telling me. So I think Dre was Dre's like, you know, with the Detroit connection, he very much loves Isaiah. So it was a very fun pod for sure.
That's dope. That's dope. So he was a person probably to be able to deliver that.
Yes. Being yes, that it exactly, was a Detroit connection exactly. for sure. They have, yeah, they have yeah, a pretty yeah, good relationship, yeah. I think. And I think there's a lot of respect with Zeke's sort of obviously NBA career as well as their personal sort of relationship. Yeah. So it was a good fit in that sense for sure.
One thing I'll say about the 90s is that I think at least the players that I've been, you know, connected with or interviewed, they've been way more open about shit. You know what I'm saying? They're not as, these people are like, this generation is much more buttoned up and, you know what I'm saying, professional. I feel like they're, there's a lot more money involved for sure. And I think just like they've been trained at earlier ages. You know, the AAU circuit, they're getting like, you know, media training. But like the 90s dudes are like, I'm already stamped. I got my motherfucking bread. This is how I feel. And, you know, maybe they, you know, these kids got a point when they're like, you know, I'm done with the 90s shit. Some of that shit was, you know, mythology.
Let's talk.
The reality
let's,
of it was not
let's,
as nice.
Let's but, talk about it. Which one of y'all wants to explain the done with the 90s thing?
Tyler, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, it's basically, people have been pulling up film of 90s games. Most of them have been focused on MJ. It has been like the Bron Army doing this. And, you know, just kind of, you know.
I've seen people that are popping that aren't just the Bron Army, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's been like a lot of like young people, like Steph Curry fans and all of that too. Like, but go ahead.
Yeah. It's look, 90s basketball was brutal at times. Like, you know, we were, you know, you would see playoff games where the final score is fucking 88 to 84, right? Like it was brutal basketball at times. And, you know, I think that this is kind of like just a hilarious overcorrection to like a legit grievance and a legit consistency in some of these like GOAT debates. And I feel like that inconsistency, like, you know, to take MJ and LeBron, for instance, is that, you know, whenever there's the discussion of MJ versus LeBron, it's always framed like we're weighing the best of MJ versus the worst of LeBron. Right. And what I mean by that is in these discussions, MJ's career always gets condensed down to just his 6 championship seasons. While with LeBron, we're talking about his whole body of work. We're talking about, you know, all 21 years and how he's got 17 seasons where he didn't win a championship. And we hold that against him in a way that we do not do the same thing for Michael Jordan. So I feel like this is like an overcorrection there where it's like, no, let's take in the whole body of everything. And, you know, I won't argue with anyone who has MJ as a GOAT, right? Like MJ was my GOAT for 20 plus fucking years until in my eyes, LeBron surpassed him. But all I ask is that when we have these debates, let's use the same parameters for everybody, right? So if we're only evaluating MJ on his championship years, if we're only evaluating MJ from 91 to 98 when he won his first and his 6th, then let's use those same parameters with Bron. Let's only discuss Bron from 2012 to 2020. But that's not how these conversations go, right? We afford Michael Jordan way more benefits in these discussions than we do any other guy in the GOAT conversation. Like, for instance, we all know that MJ's six rings are heavier than Bill Russell's 11, right? Because MJ played in a more competitive era. But we do not give LeBron that same nuance, that same benefit, right? LeBron has played in a way tougher era, and we do not give him the same nuance that we give, you know, MJ in regards to why MJ is better than Bill Russell. And not only that, we pretty much just flat out erase MJ's shortcomings, right? And on the other side of that, people will turn LeBron's achievements into shortcomings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's rarely mentioned how MJ never won a single playoff game without Scottie Pippen. Not a playoff series, a single playoff game. That man was 0-9 all time in the playoffs before Scottie came along. And, you know, three first round sweeps back when those series were first of fives. But then it gets held against Bron that he went to 11 finals, right? And it's just like you know what I'm saying, right. I do think that they're wilding a little bit, but I feel like you know, sometimes you got to combat foolishness with foolishness. Like I said, it feels like a hilarious overcorrection to some shit that I think we do need to legitimately address.
I think, and that's a t-shirt. People, that's a t-shirt. Combat foolishness with foolishness. That might be John's motto right there. Sorry, John.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. And you're right. It is a t-shirt. That needs to be pointed out. Let's get some bread. You feel me? Added them racks Tyler just came up on. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Some more shmoney on top of the shmoney.
You feel me? But I do feel like we need to highlight that Jordan is Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like, my nigga. Yes, the 90s basketball was brutal, but Jordan, regardless of what fucking era, there could have been a league above this league, and he would have been a fucking dog in that motherfucker. Charles Barkley. Fucking, you know, Olajuwon, you know, these guys, like, bro, you know, those were really ones, you feel me? So, like, there is a little bit of overcorrection, but I do love that, you know, like, hey, man, like, it wasn't what we thought. Like, a lot of these dudes grew up based off what other people were saying. They were seeing the YouTube highlights and were actually watching the games like we watched the games. We saw that shit. You know what I'm saying? And we, you know, most people that, you know, are reasonable can look at basketball now and say this is a much higher level of basketball, much more competitive. And so I love that they're seeing that, but I don't want, like, Jordan is Jordan, bro. Like, we can't minimize what he fucking did in the game. He would be a dog. I mean, he'd be just competitive now or in 10 years from now, I believe. You feel what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at with it. But I think it's funny as hell. I've loved the recaps. It is just cool seeing, like, the genuine shock on these kids' faces when they're like, what the? This is what I was arguing on Twitter for? That LeBron couldn't, like, KD didn't have the, you know, the ability to compete. LeBron couldn't compete with this fucking white guy in goggles that's fucking 6'6 playing the center. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I do love that. I do love that.
Yeah. And like I said, it feels like an overcorrection that was needed a bit, because as someone who's been in the trenches, you know, arguing how LeBron is the GOAT, it was always odd to me when I would see a little 23-year-old pop up and say, no, it's Michael Jordan. And if you have, and the deeper the discussion I would have with someone in that age group, you get down to the fact that they just hate LeBron. That's why they're siding with Jordan here, right? And I'm not going to say that there aren't youngins out here who have, you know, grinded the film, watched the YouTube clips, watched full games of MJ. And if you've come to the conclusion there after doing the homework that MJ is the best basketball player of all time, and it's not rooted in your hate and disdain for MJ, I mean for LeBron, then hats off to you. That's some student in the game. Should I commend that? But so many times, it was just so weird to me to see youngins siding with someone who wasn't from their generation to shit on the best player they've seen in their generation. Like, we didn't do that. Like, when MJ was, no one our age was bringing up Kareem in GOAT conversations because they didn't like MJ. You know what I'm saying? That was just not how shit moved. Like, that was something that was weird to me. And now I'm like, okay, finally, the kids are being kids again. They're shitting on eras before them. That's what young people are supposed to do, right? So yeah, it's that angle there too.
That's how big Michael Jordan was. He disrupted the gravity force of young people thinking that all old shit is lame. Like, you know, like, there's not many people. I mean, kids don't respect Michael Jackson. They don't respect, like, you know, they don't respect any of their elders except for Michael Jordan until now. And God bless him, because it's time, bro. You should never have a 23-year-old arguing with someone in their late 30s that what the person in their late 30s saw was better than what the person in their early to, like, that's not the natural order of things. You know what I mean? We're evolving backwards when we do that.
Yeah, I think the thing is too, like, these kids are wearing Jordans, arguing for Jordan. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, we weren't wearing old people's shoes. We weren't in love with the culture as well. Like,
you had the Kareem high flyers on.
Yeah, Converse weapons. I mean, they had a moment, but, like, we weren't really wearing
MJ's
them like
not
that.
Not fit to hold his goggles, you know.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we wasn't tripping off that. You feel me? But I do love the fact that they're looking past, you know what I'm saying, the Defensive Player of the Year and the 6 rings he won. You know what I'm saying? And seeing the actual games. Because when we would argue with these people, that's all they say. 6 championships is better than so-and-so. Like, nigga, look, watch the we were there watching the basketball games, bro. Right. We saw it. I love them looking past that.
You should have seen me dissect people when they try to say Jim Brown was a better running back than Barry Sanders when I was 15 years old. I mean, it was a dissection, bro. You know what I mean? Jim Brown couldn't even, Jim Brown tried to change directions, his knee would explode. You know what I'm just like?
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Speaking of NFL running backs, we had a little Love is Blind audition from Tiki Barber. Giants running back Saquon Barkley has signed with the Eagles. And did you guys see Tiki Barber's quote about Saquon signing with the Eagles?
No, I didn't.
You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me.
We pulled a Chelsea.
Hey, people got to have more situational awareness. Tiki Barber is not one to wag his finger at anyone for perceived disloyalty, like the angle he was shooting for there, because we know about you, bro. Like, you divorced your pregnant wife to marry because you were cheating on her with the intern at the TV station you worked with, dude. So, like, no one wants to hear that shit from him. And I was hoping Saquon would have took it there, but he basically just, you know, you told him fuck you in so many words. So, you know, he clapped back on his own terms, but
what's
that button
weird
was
about
right there, though,
is that a nigga that would do that would also have the audacity. You know what I'm saying?
Is that too?
Like, bro,
Tiki
like
Barber
you aren't
all
you.
Audacity.
You know what I'm saying?
He's first right. team all audacity,
that's the,
bro.
That's the first ingredient on the breakdown of Tiki Barber is audacity. You know what I'm saying?
Second ingredient is eyebrows.
90%,
sure.
90% audacity. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
2 cups audacity, 1.5 cups eyebrows.
A sprinkle of bald ass head in that motherfucker.
And we got a full cup of Tiki for you. You know what I'm saying? A full serving of Tiki.
I mean, he's also a dude who, I mean, he was kind of like a pioneer for the importance of authenticity versus access where, you know, he got a TV career and his planned TV career was going on TV, talking shit on his former teammates. And Eli Manning and the rest of the Giants came out and said, we don't fuck with that dude. He doesn't know any stories about us. No one fucks with Tiki Barber. You know, I mean, where's he at now? He's doing local TV weather channel shit or something. I don't know. Like, just
not
you know,
to shit on meteorologists.
Not to, I mean, I love a meteorologist.
Oh, but I love a good meteorologist.
But he thought he was going to be Michael Strahan. You know
yeah,
what
that's
I mean?
That's not his
He's
goal.
The,
that wasn't
they don't
his
love
goal.
You like that of the
you got a
of the
Pierce
of the Giants. All right. Let's see. What do y'all want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Skip Bayless tweeting all in my ass, but with a comma in there? Do you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers talking about running for vice president?
All in my ass. Come on. That's really on brand. We need
so
that.
So Skip Bayless tweeted all in, comma, my ass, as in like your motto of all in is not is not accurate. But there was it spawned a series of great memes about how much work the comma was doing in that tweet. Because really what he just tweeted was all in my ass.
Skip. Motherfucking Skip.
How did he not see that? Even though he's a trillion years old. I mean, like, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? You had to have seen that coming. It is Twitter. You know what I mean? It is Deuce made said, for moments like this.
Deuce said he's never once checked his mentions. I was like, this is a man who knows how to use Twitter, bro.
Yeah. All my respect.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe Skip on that. I believe Colin when he says he does him. I don't know if I believe Skip. Here's my thing. If you're going to do that tweet, you've got to provide reinforcements to the comma. You have to put all in quotes, you know, like all in, comma, my ass.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you can't
yeah,
just
yeah.
leave the comma out there to do all the work by itself. Commas are not armed to handle
that comma was
much.
Hanging on like for dear life. Like,
my first thought was that
in a hurricane,
Spider-Man like, one meme where he's like holding with the train. And he's like as hard as he can possibly hold on to stop the train coming yeah. on. You know?
I saw that oh, one. I saw shit. The one that with the like 1,000-pound chain with the paperclip in between two links. it was a lot, bro.
Sheesh.
It was
sheesh,
a lot
sheesh,
for sure.
Sheesh. I believe he hasn't looked at him, though. I think the way he's existed, you can't have your mental health would be in shambles if you have existed the way you are. I mean, yeah.
Yes,
be, but
I think that's exactly what I'm saying.
I feel like you'd be in a, I think you'd be, you know, strapped up in a, you know, like in a, padded room, you know what I'm saying, based on how he's moved. So
that man has a 99.999% fuck you response rate. Like, why would you ever check those? There's not going to be any positive reinforcement of anything he says in his mentions. Why would he ever do that to himself?
And the way people are designed is if, like, you can get 100 things that are positive and you see one and it's like, fuck that, dude. If
it's the way fucking your brain works.
If it is reversed, you feel me? Like, I can't imagine that world, bro. I think it's almost impossible for him to be able to check. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a human, it'd just be too difficult.
You know who's got the same thing, but I know he said in interviews he does see his mentions, is Joe Buck. My friend Ryan and I used to, when Twitter, like, first came out and Joe Buck was on there, just kind of being a regular dude, it was our halftime ritual before Red Zone, all this other shit. He would go on Twitter and search at Buck and then just read the top 20 things. It was always at least 15 fuck at Buck. Like, it was like the foulest shit, bro. Yeah, it's crazy. But you know, that's what we've decided should be our information disseminating mechanism in our society.
Crazy.
Is
and it's been very effective.
I guess speaking of people getting their information off Twitter, y'all saw Aaron Rodgers apparently considering a vice presidential ticket team up with RFK Jr.
That's a match made in 2022's heaven, but
yeah, I don't know. God bless. Best of luck, America.
That's like the dumbest shit that also makes the most complete sense at the same time. You know, like those
it's
guys are perfect.
The dumbest
for each other.
Credible scenario existing today. Yes, that's a great.
Yes, those two are perfect for each other and terrible for everyone else. Like,
yeah. All right. Not to steal someone else's topic entirely, but I'm Italian, so I feel like I get to co-opt this. Trill Tyler I Am tweeted. Are y'all aware of the full name of the man who founded the Gucci fashion house? His full name is Guccio Gucci.
Jeez, what a fucking name.
I love that, actually, man.
Look at this man.
That's a Guccio Gucci Guccio if I've ever Gucci. Seen one. You know what I'm saying?
That's all.
Guccio Gucci indeed, bro.
Italians got some shit right. This was pre-Mussolini, so we got some shit wrong, too. You know what I mean? But
designers be having some hard-ass name, like Yves Saint Laurent. Oh, my God.
That's man. Crazy. What? Crazy.
What a that's fucking
that's,
name.
Wait, that's the person's actual name?
Yes, actual name.
Yeah. I wonder, like, what the – like, okay, I imagine how many people have named the brand after their actual name. And, like – I mean, like, the name is going to make it whether it pops or not, not just the designs, right? So I wonder, like, what's the percentage of that? Like, is it more the name has to be fire than the actual designs?
You know Ralph Lauren switched shit up.
YSL is crazy, bro.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like,
I know Ralph Lauren switched it up. I know Lauren
Tommy Hilfiger. That's not his real name?
His real name, yeah.
Okay, damn. Nautica's not, that's obviously, like, that's not anybody's
Timmy
name.
Timmy Nautica?
Yeah.
Jimmy Nautica.
It's not a Steven Nautica running around here.
It does feel like this is clothing specific a little bit, though.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, if I'm put something, like, the name can't be weak. Like, I'm not wearing John Nichols wear. You know what I'm saying?
I would never name. Not either. Like, John and I both sell. Like, John smart, and I sell clothes. Like, we would not, I would never sell the Garabasio line of something. It is not a name for that. It's too long. Yeah. It's not cool. It's not, you know what I mean? Similarly, you would never
sell. That'd be a good restaurant, though. That'd be a great restaurant.
Maybe.
I would eat at Garabasio's.
Yes, absolutely.
I would. Oh, God.
You don't want to name your business. No, that name is so fucking Italian. You know what I mean?
No.
And
for an Italian restaurant, you have to tell me what the name. Maggiano's is not enough. You know what I'm saying?
We need like 3-4 more syllables, dog.
I need some consonants that are silent in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I need some silent consonants. Bro, Garabasio is a perfect restaurant name for Italian restaurant for sure.
Hell yeah.
You know who's got, of all the Italians I know, the person who's probably got the best last name for a restaurant is my friend Abby Mastromonaco.
Mastromonaco.
I drop a lot of money.
Is that Italian? Is
that bro. Sounds like an expensive vacation island, bro.
and it sounds like if it's a restaurant, it's I'm gonna leave with a $500 bill.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Right,
like,
for sure.
You feel me? Like, it sounds like the chef's approach to they're really good at the taste is good, but I feel like it would affect my brain in a way. Like, there's some science behind the food that makes me feel a particular way. You know what I'm saying? Like, gee, it seemed like it'd be next level type shit.
All right. This ties in a little bit.
Ralph Lauren's real name is Ralph Lifshitz. He made the right decision.
Oh, for sure, bro.
Lifshitz.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
This guy's like, is that like a John Stewart thing? That was like, he was going to, like, the anti-Semitism would have got you could name it Ralph Lifshitz. Yeah. So
I don't know if it's anti-Semitism too. I just don't think that's a name you'd want. You know, it's not because it's, you know, that's not a name I'd
it's
want
sort
to
of hand in hand, though.
It's like,
you know,
John
I mean?
Nichols. But like, obviously people would be, there's people that are, you know, anti-Semites that would believe that. I wouldn't look at it that way. You know what I'm saying?
What's John Stewart's real last name? It's Jewish as fuck. Hold on. John Stewart. I remember being like, oh, I understand why he.
Leibowitz. I feel like Leibowitz John is an entertainment name.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the name of
a aren't there popular Leibowitz
when we were
like,
all growing up
in entertainment?
When he was coming up, that's a name of a very specific type of comedian, though. You know what I mean? That's like a very specific Jewish New York comedian. And that was like not obviously the lane he was in. So like John Leibowitz could not host the, you know, the number one news comedy show in America at the time that he took the Daily Show over. I feel like
that makes sense.
So I get it. All right. This ties in with the done with the 90s thing we were just talking about, but are y'all aware of the generation war over Prime versus Gatorade? Have we discussed this on the pod?
Prime. No. I don't even know what the fuck Prime is. That's how out the loop I am. Was that like a sports drink?
Yes, it is Prime? The drink that all kid athletes love, and it is like kind of running Gatorade out of the spot right now. They just announced that Prime is the new official sports drink of the Lakers, And my son and all of his friends are so invested in Prime as being better than Gatorade that he like fist pumped and celebrated around the house that the Lakers are now with Prime instead of Gatorade. Yeah, I thought I'd bring that up. I think that's very interesting. Gatorade was one of those things. It was like really became popular when we were kids because of Michael Jordan in large part. And then it's just kind of been, I know Body Armor's come along, Powerade, but Gatorade was always like Coca-Cola like or Nike.
All it sport, was all one. That tried, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, Gatorade was the one that made it through all the bullshit. You know what I mean?
Prime is just like, these kids are fucking obsessed with it, bro. It's crazy. It's so sweet. I cannot even drink this shit. And I
that's
say
what
that
I don't think it'll last. That's what I don't think it'll last. If it's too sweet, because that's what happened with Allsport. I think Allsport had a like it had a moment. It had a little fizz in it. You know what
Prime
I'm saying?
Prime is but bigger like, than Allsport ever got, though. Like Allsport wasn't taking the Dodgers off of Gatorade. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
so, I don't know.
I just feel like this the sweetness might get it. You know what I mean?
Have you had it?
I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I've never had Prime. I've seen Prime.
Yeah.
I've never had it. If I know it's over for Gatorade. If they enter college football, if we seeing kids on the sideline drinking Prime in college football, where Gatorade was created, SEC football, people be drinking Prime, it might be, hey.
Prime is like, there are kids who will put that, like there are Gatorade bottles out there. I can tell you this for a fact. There are Gatorades out there, Gatorade bottles on sidelines with Prime inside of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. That's why it's interesting they went and got the Lakers to me. What's that?
Can I make a mean joke?
Yeah.
Of course.
Mike, it's shocking to me that you, a parent of a Japanese child, are letting your son drink this drink that Tyler and John may not be aware of this. It was founded by Logan Paul, who infamously went into a Japanese forest and did some dark stuff in there. So wait, I don't know, Mike.
Founded by Logan Paul?
Interesting parenting going on at the Garabasio household. Wow.
Let me tell you this. As a parent, the number one thing you got to know as a parent, and this is coming for John in the next couple of years, you got to know which battles to fight. I'm not. There are battles that I'll fight with my son. But here's what Prime did was they went.
He about
and
to
got,
start calling you Steve again. If you go anti-Prime, he gonna be on your ass. You know what I mean?
There was a commercial that aired during a football game that was like at different athletes chanting, "We got Prime." And like, if you pulled a bottle of Prime out of your bag when you're coaching basketball or baseball, the entire group of kids would start doing the chant like immediately. Do you know what I mean? Like they're fucking obsessed with it. It's more expensive than Gatorade too, which I don't appreciate, but it feels very also like Mountain Dew Code Red to me because it's just like, they just gave them like the flavors, extreme names. So Vincent really likes Meta Moon is his favorite.
Meta Moon? I didn't even know.
Oh
that.
God, that's so fucking Jesus.
Yeah,
so I can't yourselves. Believe Logan Paul, but he is so fucking rich. This idiot has found a way to become so fucking rich.
Which ones? Okay, are they both dickheads, or is one?
I mean, they're both dickheads, but one's
Logan Paul is a hell of a fucking businessman, though, bro.
Yeah. I mean, but it's always, bro, if we keeping it a bean, so is his brother. Jake, bro, like, Jake has found a way to enter boxing and become a big draw. He is fighting fucking Mike Tyson. There is no way, dude, Shakur can't even fight fucking Tank or Devin Haney. You know what I'm saying? And he's one of the best boxers in the world, was top three on the pound for pound list at one point. You know what I mean? And this nigga Jake Paul is fighting Mike Tyson for probably more money than Shakur has ever made in his entire fucking career. That is business. And I think with boxing, business is just as important as being good. And his business side is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the way to go in boxing is to be the villain. No one, once you get people invested in seeing you get knocked the fuck out, you are good money, bro. Like, you know, take fucking Mayweather, for instance. We remember he tried to be a good guy with the whole Pretty Blue Boy era. You know what I'm saying? And he really took off when he became the Money Mayweather.
Money
asshole,
Mayweather,
right?
Bro. Yeah. And he was more aggressive boxing-wise when he was Pretty Boy. Mm-hmm. He became more defensive and more strategic and I would say less of a fun for people that aren't to the masses, you know what I'm saying, as Money Mayweather. And he still made more money because he became a villain like Tyler spoke to.
Yeah, the money is in people wanting to see you get knocked out, not people wanting to see you knock people out.
There's a lot of money in hate, and both brothers have found out a way to make money in it. You know what I'm saying?
Prime went from $300 million in sales in 2022 to $1.2 billion in sales last year.
In fucking sane.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's a head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Here's a fun debate. King Favre tweeted this, and I'm curious for your guys' opinion. The question is this: do you think the world has more bad-smelling things or more good-smelling things? Like, total thing. Like, average single thing in the world. Is it more likely to smell good or bad?
Yeah. I think things...
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't know about... Okay, so... Neutral smelling things like my hat smells like cotton. That they don't weigh tip the scales anywhere.
Well, do you think your new hats smell good or bad?
I mean, I think it smells it would be good
personal
I,
opinion. I think it's a
pleasing
smells great.
Smell. I don't know if it's pleasing.
I don't think it objectively smells good. It smells good to me because I'm a hat guy and I love new hat smell. If I made my wife smell it, it doesn't mean shit to her. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's that. But I think there's way less revolting smells than there are revolting smells, if we want to like frame it that way, by far.
I think this speaks to more your personality, how you see things, and actually the reality. I think it's like a glass half full type situation. I think there's way more things that smell good. I just think certain things don't smell good in certain situations. Like, I'm not going to put on a cologne that smells like steak. It would smell bad if it was cologne, but it smells delicious when it's fucking steak. What are you laughing at, Jackson? It's true. So
that
I think
was
like
so funny. That was a really good point in the argument. It was also
if I'd
hilarious.
Have hugged you on Saturday and you smelled like grilled steak, like, I don't know. Bro, I might have nuzzled like, your neck, dog.
Right.
I can't even imagine what I would have done in that scenario.
But I'm just. But like, okay. But if okay, like I would not want because I am sexually attracted to Ratha, I wouldn't want her to smell like steak. Yeah. Maybe I would nuzzle your neck if you smelled like steak. You know what I mean? Because like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not horny when I
you rub
like,
some filet on before you came up to LA.
That's a great point, John. And it made me think of Korean barbecue when you go and you're like, this place smells freaking amazing. And then you leave and all your clothes smell like that. And you're like, this is horrible. Yeah.
Fried chicken. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Different types of food in particular. Like, you know, like I know a lot of people who are from different cultures that cook in their garage because they don't want it to smell like their food when they go out into the world. But their food smells great to me. But also, like, you don't want it on your body because that... So this depends on where the smell is.
Answer the question.
In general. I think in general, most there's way more things that smell good. I like the smell of things more than I'm hardly ever revolted by smells.
Tyler, you think more things smell good?
Yeah.
Would it surprise you to learn that the results of this poll were 84.5% said more bad-smelling things?
People hate life, bro, and I'm not surprised at all, honestly. I think it is a lot of people that don't want to be that don't like hot that they out here right now. You feel what I'm saying?
It is spring. Like, bro, the earth smells incredible right now. And I say that as someone who allergies beat my ass every time this year. But I step outside in the spring, especially after like a spring rain. Oh my God.
You can't ignore the beauty of it. Yeah. And to feel like, dude, rain. Are people taking into consideration like rain smells great? You know what I'm saying? Like before it rains and after it rains. Like the smell of rain coming in is incredible. You know what I'm saying? The ocean smell when you're by the ocean, there is something peaceful about that. You know what I'm saying? That literally brings you peace.
So that's exactly where I came from is most people obviously live in cities and there are a lot of bad smelling things in cities. So I understand that. But most of the world is not cities. The majority of the world is the ocean, correct? The ocean smells great. Like, yes, if you pull a fish out of it and it's rotting, like, yeah, that doesn't smell good. But like, even if I go on a walk in my neighborhood, I smell plumerias. We have jacaranda trees in the spring that smell wonderful. Like, there's more plants than there are cars. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I was surprised at how overwhelmingly negative it was. But John, you're right. It's not about what people objectively think about the world. It's about people's opinion of life.
And if you pull a fish out the ocean and it smells fishy, which is not a good smell, the trillion ways you can cook it are going to smell fucking delicious. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like it shows up like a fish just as in that's not the only smell. It shows up in multiple different ways and it's going to smell great. Like, I don't know. That's how I think of it. So like you said, I think it's like we both said it. I think it's about perception.
Yeah.
But I think majority of the world smells. I would flip that.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? At least flip it.
Like,
you know
when we go to Mammoth, like, yes, like, if there's a wildfire, the smoke smells bad. But literally a million things around us smell great. You know what I mean?
And a bonfire smells great.
Yeah. True.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So
if you had a bad smell in your crib, you're going to turn that motherfucker upside down until you find out what the fuck is that smell, right? Like, that's
because
not
it's so abnormal. Yeah. It's so abnormal to have a bad smell. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so, I think the thing is, like, also, it's so abnormal to notice. It's so jarring when you smell something bad because it's abnormal. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is that? Like, everybody is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is that?
Things
because
that smell
it's so
bad,
abnormal.
Yeah. Things that smell bad, that's your body telling you that this is something dangerous or something to stay away from.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Something, yeah.
For sure. So. All right, that's all the time we got. Before we get out of here, I want to close.
That was a great question. I'm glad you brought that. I love that question.
I thought we were going to argue. There's been so many topics where I bring it up because I'm like, oh, we'll get a good argument about this, and then the three of us always agree. Like, we've literally disagreed about the two famous things that we've disagreed about that shall not be named in this present moment because Tyler has a heart out for his new job. But but I just think that's funny. I was like, oh, I'm against the 85% here. At least one of John and Tyler will be on that side. And all three of us are just like, no, obviously the world smells great. Like,
I mean, also, we get paid to, you know, make money talking shit with our friends.
Yeah.
You know,
actually,
our perception may be skewed.
That's what I wanted to end on real quick. People always send us so many nice notes when they have that on their heart. And when I have it on my heart, I like to send it back. So thank you to all the listeners. Here's what I did with some of my Jenkins and Jones money today. And I'm not saying this to brag about myself or whatever, but because I think it's helpful for people to understand if you're helping people out in your community, how far a little bit of money goes. But I spent a couple hours this week at my kids' elementary school book fair. I do this every year. The fellas know it's something I've been able to do since we've all been podcasting in the current manner that we're podcasting.
Is that cowherd shmoney.
I go and I just tell the teachers, if you have anyone in your class who their parents didn't give them any money, or they don't have anything on their, you know, e-wallet or whatever, send them over to me and I'll make sure they get a book. I had a couple years in my childhood where I was a kid that was like, just browsing, thanks, you know, like taking them on the chest. And it's crazy, bro. You buy a kid a $13 Spider-Man book. It's crazy how it changes their outlook on a day with $13. So there's all kinds of big, horrible things in the world. There's nothing any of us can do anything about. But if you go small enough, you could find something you could do with a little bit of extra money you have, even if it's not much extra money, that'll change someone's day. They have a better day instead of a bad day. Maybe that changes their week. Maybe that changes a month. Maybe that changes year. You just don't know. And so, but thank you to everyone who listens to Jenkins Jones for giving us the opportunity to do fun shit like that. And yeah, that's my, my message of encouragement to the people before you leave the church.
hell of a message. Hell of a message. Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. Right. Everybody saying amen.
All right. Thanks, y'all. We'll be back, like I said, ASAP with that Love is Blind reunion recap. We'll see y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Volume.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, Exo Jackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at exojacqui.com. Made for women by women.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.